The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, Lord Christ. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and turned over their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What signs can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. This week, I've been getting prepared to an estate sale for Barbara Underwood, who passed away last November. Barbara was 91 years old when she passed, and you can imagine she had some pretty interesting things in her house. One of the things that I found in her house was this. I brought it with me today. Now, some of you may recognize this, and some of you may not. Let me see if I can get it out here. Okay, I see some nods. And Alex, you've already participated in this, so you can't. Any of the young people not know what this is? You know what this is, Brian? A cheese grater, that's pretty close. You could probably grate cheese with it. You can grate a lot of things with it. Yeah. This is what I call a vintage meat grinder. Vintage is my new word for this year. Found a lot of vintage things in Barbara's house. And I remember as a child making ham and turkey salad spread, you know, I was the power behind this meat grinder. You put things up here, comes out here, there's all kinds of stuff. I really wanted to take this home. Actually, I did take it home, and I was going to buy it. And my husband looked at me and says, "You're never going to use that." And he's right. I would never probably use it. So I'm taking it back for the estate sale, and Ellen has already told me she's going to buy it. So yeah, there you go. So my mom didn't want to waste anything of food because she grew up during the Great Depression. But times have changed, and meat grinders, even though some of you are still using yours, I've heard all the stories of what you've used them for, and I really just don't want to know. But no, it's serious. But we use things like electric food processors and blenders and all kinds of things instead of things like this. But I will never forget the original use of this kitchen tool. So sometimes things hang around for years, don't they? And they lose their, what they become obsolete, or things replace them over time. And that way, and we don't view them as we used to. And that can, things like we used to have function years ago are now relegated to hanging decorations in restaurants and in our homes. I'm sure we're all thinking of something right now that's obsolete in your lifetime. I'm thinking, you know, like 8-track tapes, you know, things like that. Maybe even vinyl records. I mean, we have a lot of those at home, too. So, But an object is no longer being used as originally intended for, we can forget the significance of that object over time. This loss of significance can also come when we look at the cross of Christ. We have crosses in our church, in our steeples, and hanging on the walls in our homes. Many of us, including myself, wear cross jewelry all the time. We can purchase nearly anything today with a cross on it, including a children's candy sucker comes in a cross shape. Cross jewelry is no longer a statement of being worn as a fashion statement. And what I'm afraid is that we have become a society desensitized to what the cross represents for us Christians. We have been talking a lot about the cross and the way Jesus died in our Wednesday Bible study in the case for Easter. It is not a topic that many of us revel in, but it's definitely a needed discussion. Do you remember about 2 decades ago, I can't believe it's been that long, when Mel Gibson's movie came out, The Passion of Christ? That movie caused a lot of controversy. Many people felt it was too violent and focused too much on the suffering of Jesus and not enough on his resurrection. I'm not sure I agree with that assessment, but sometimes I think we focus sometimes too much in Christianity on primarily the resurrection, and Christ's suffering on the cross is relegated to a mere symbol for Christians. We talk often about the positive differences Christianity can make in our lives because of the resurrection, and that is all a good thing. But Gibson forced us to focus on the suffering and death of Christ, and that's a good thing also. Because without the suffering and death of Jesus, his resurrection loses some of its significance. Without realizing the depth in which Christ suffered for us, we can miss the depth of the love God has for each one of us. Dying on the cross was a gruesome death, opposite of the pretty pieces of art and jewelry that we wear today. On Good Friday this year, our Daughters of the King chapter will lead Stations of the Cross, both here inside our church and outside. Yes, these pictures on our walls, these pretty pictures, are what we call Stations of the Cross. And if you've never looked at these stations, I challenge you to take a look at them. We have a booklet out on our usher's table in the atrium that explains each of these stations and what they represent. And for me, 2 of the stations bring home the significance of what the cross of Christ is for. Station 3, just over here, is Christ falls for the first time. And it reads in the booklet this: consider that Christ tries to carry his cross after much torture, spitting, and mockery. He struggles with emotional and physical sorrow. Our God falls just like we do under a heavy load. In his humanness, he feels weak. He looks to see if his friends and disciples are near enough to help. Station 11, over on this side, Christ is nailed to the cross. And it says, consider that Christ is physically nailed to the cross he has carried. He willingly gives up himself, his body, mind, and spirit to rescue us, the ones who have run away and left him because we are afraid. In this image, the Holy Spirit is above Christ, holding him in God's holy light. Powerful images. Peter wrote this in his letter. He says, We were ransomed with the precious blood of Christ. And then Isaiah in 53 reads this: but he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. But what a way to save the world, isn't it? It flies in the face of common sense. And from the time of Jesus, the crucifixion has a basis as of our salvation has been a major problem for Christians. As we have heard in 1 Corinthians reading, Paul wrote, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing." The Greeks saw the cross as foolishness, literally meaning moronic, for they believed that truth was discovered through wisdom and reason. For the Jews, the cross was a scandal, a stumbling block, and they couldn't believe God would save man through being accursed. They asked for signs and instead got a crucified Messiah. Christ's whole life was based on redemption, especially when he voluntarily accepted suffering and death for us so that we might be saved. Christ took on our sins on that cross. Our Savior atoned for all humans and made us one again with an almighty God. Thus, we are made whole through Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection. He gave us full life, eternal life with God once more, a privilege that was lost initially because of the sin of humanity, beginning with Adam and Eve. In a few weeks, we will be at our Holy Week. Of course, pastors call it something else, but I won't tell you that because we have young people in the midst. We begin with Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. On Wednesday of Holy Week, we offer a very unique and powerful service called Tenebrae, which literally means in Latin, darkness. And it's a powerful readings of Old Testament as we extinguish candles one by one as we do the readings. On Thursday of Holy Week, we call Maundy Thursday, we remember the Last Supper of our Lord, his betrayal by a close friend, and his example of servant leadership as we reenact the foot washing. At the end of the service on Maundy Thursday, we watch as the altar is stripped of Christ's presence, and the bread and the wine is removed from the sanctuary, and we take it to another room where we watch and pray that night until noon on Good Friday. On Friday of Holy Week, we participate in a noonday service, remembering Jesus' suffering and death as our Lord on the cross, followed by an actual walking of our 14 stations of the cross, both here inside our church and out on our land. When then on Saturday night, our vigil service, and on our two morning services, Easter morning, we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. And I think I say this every year. No, I know I say this every year, but it warrants repeating. If you go directly from Palm Sunday to the triumphal entry on Easter Sunday, Jesus' resurrection from the dead, we miss the betrayal. Jesus' resurrection, we miss his love for us in humble service, and we miss the suffering Jesus did on the cross. Holy Week services are powerful, and they are beautiful in their own way, and we don't want to miss any of them. If you do miss them, though, it would be like opening a present, an empty present, and not knowing why you should be thankful for that present. The empty tomb signifies Christ's victory over death. And yet if we miss that death, we do not reflect on the cross really means to us. Our victory is short-lived. The cross was a triumph over sin. It was a moral victory in itself. Jesus overcame evil through his perfect obedience and righteousness. Paul wrote in his letter to the Romans this: "Through one act of righteousness, there resulted justification of life for all people." His death on the cross was a capstone of the life of moral victories over sin, over evil, and over Satan. In the cross of Jesus, we see both the judgment of God and his love for us. Herein lies the beauty of why we display it so proudly as Christians. In the cross, we find God who does not stand far off from us, but takes on the worst of his own law requires. God has pronounced judgment, yes, but he loves us so much. He wants to save all of humanity. God is willing to take on the burden of paying for our sins through Jesus' death on the cross. Jesus died on a cross so that we could live, and that is a very deep love. It's a kind of love that we only find in God. Many people have asked me why Jesus' death had to be so gruesome. Couldn't God have saved us another way? And I hope I answered that question last week in my sermon. And if you missed last week, you could listen to my sermon on our website or watch it on live stream on Facebook or YouTube. Even after 2,000 years, Jesus Christ's death and resurrection, we still proclaim Christ crucified. Paul reminds us today, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Who else but God could take a horrible death like a crucifixion and make it the most loving expression for all of us today? Do we fully understand the cross? No, I certainly don't. But I think the prophet Isaiah may give us some help when he says this of God: "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord." We don't always understand why God does what God does. But that's okay. We cannot always understand the thoughts and the ways of God, but we should never doubt, ever doubt, God's love for us. The cross of Christ stands as a reminder of that truth. Never forget that. Amen.